Call to order the Stanislaus County Board of Supervisors meeting. Everybody please rise for the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, we're going to start this morning with a presentation, recognition of the National Library Week. Our librarian is Vanessa Zopek. Good morning.
Morning. Good morning, Chairman O'Brien and members of the board, Ms. Nino, Mr. Doering, and members of the public. I'm Vanessa Zopek. I'm your County Library Director. And I'm here today to celebrate. This month marks the 100th anniversary of our county library system. And we're also celebrating National Library Week and thanking our outstanding library volunteers. 1912 was a monumental year in Stanislaus County and around the world. It's the year that the Titanic sank, the year that the Beta Breakers race began, the Girl Scouts of America was formed, and Oreo cookies were first produced.
Right.
And closer to home, the Modesto Arch was built, Slater's Home Furnishings business opened, and the Modesto Chamber of Commerce was formed. But best of all, in my mind, the stately McHenry Library opened at 14th and I Streets in Modesto. At the turn of the 20th century around our county, shared book collections and small reading rooms were housed in stores and churches and private homes, and usually they had been started by women's groups. But in Modesto, the Rogers Library Society hoped to build a larger space to replace the smaller library known as Rogers Hall. The Society pursued many, many funding sources, including the Carnegie Foundation, which at the time was donating money across the nation for the construction of libraries. Oramil McHenry died in February of 1906. He left $20,000 and a partial ownership of three lots for the purpose of building a public library in Modesto. Construction of the McHenry Library began in October of 1911, and it was completed in April of 1912. The grand opening was held on May 1st, and 8-year-old Merle McHenry checked out the very first book, and legend has it that he brought it back late. So this was the beginning of our county library system. In March of 1912, the Ceres Library became the first branch in the library system. Turlock and Oakdale Libraries, both of which successfully applied for Carnegie funding, joined the county library system. And in those first few years, the communities of Denair, Empire, Houston, Keys, Newman, Patterson, Riverbank, Salida, and Waterford soon joined as well. After 1912, and as our community grew, the McHenry Library expanded with a new wing in 1928. That library moved one block away in 1971 to its current location at 1500 I Street. The Turlock Library moved into a larger new building in 1968, and the old Carnegie Library is now part of the new Carnegie Arts Center in Turlock. Oakdale's original Carnegie Library building now houses offices, and Oakdale's library currently is located on South First Avenue in a building that was named for David F. Bush, who was a state senator, Superior Court judge, and avid library supporter. But the one constant in the history of our library system has been our volunteers and our community supporters. And each year we thank our numerous volunteers during a recognition event held during National Library Week. This year's event will be April 14th at the Nick W. Blum Salida Regional Library. Our Library Foundation will present its Shining Star Awards for outstanding service and support to Friends of the Library members Ellen D'Ambrosio of the Modesto Friends and Cressy Maurer of the Newman Friends. The Foundation will also recognize the Vintage Fair Mall for outstanding support of the Friends of the Modesto Library, and Mark Looker for his individual volunteer efforts countywide on Stanislaw Reed's program that we held last year. But to celebrate our library centennial, we're inviting the public to free library birthday parties at branches throughout the county. And you're invited to. The first birthday party is this Saturday from 11 to 1 at the Modesto Library. And other parties are going to follow throughout the month. And for more information, you can see the library's webpage. But I'm urging everyone to please join us in celebrating National Library Week and in celebrating the 100-year history of our library by visiting their local library. Oh, and that note. Party! Thank you.
Well, Vanessa, I want to congratulate you on the job that you're doing at our library system. And kudos to 100 years. And the Board of Supervisors has a resolution. Stanislaus County Board of Supervisors does hereby unanimously commend the Stanislaus County Library System on the occasion of its 100th anniversary and proclaim April 8th to 14th, 2012, National Library Week in Stanislaus County, urging everyone to visit their library to take advantage of the numerous resources available provided through the voter-approved 1/8 cent sales tax dedicated to the support of libraries. Vanessa, thank you for the job you do. Job well done.
Thank you. Well, it's an honor for the library to be able to serve the residents of Stanislaus County. Our library is a jewel, and it's a great resource for the public. Please come and visit it, and we have numbers of friendly people right there ready to help you with whatever needs you have. So thank you.
All right, next item this morning is public comment period. This is a time in the agenda when anybody can address this Board of Supervisors on any issue that is not on today's agenda. I do not have any specific request to speak. Is there anybody who wishes to address this board? Seeing no one, we'll move to consent calendar. Does any Board of Supervisor have any item they wish to pull for a separate vote or separate discussion? Does any audience member wish to comment on any consent calendar item, items marked on the agenda with the asterisk? Seeing none, I'll bring it back to the board.
A motion to approve.
I have a motion.
I'll second that.
And a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Item passes 5-0. Move on to item A6. It's an approval to commend Christine Ferraro-Talman on her 20th anniversary of Clerk of the Board Supervisors.
Okay.
We'll bring her up here.
Yeah.
All right. Christine, will you join us up here? Good morning.
Hello.
We are here to congratulate you on 20 years being the clerk of the board. So I have a few fun little facts here. All right, Christine Ferraro-Talman began her career with Stanislaus County as Board of Supervisors filled ref for District 2 on January 4th, 1980. And on March 24, 1992, the board approved a resolution appointing Ms. Talman to the Clerk of the Board of Supervisors. Her mission is to keep accurate records and provide courteous service and take pride in the performance of her duties, which she does. Her responsibilities include clerking all of Board of Supervisors meetings and record legislative actions, maintain records and indexes dating back to 1854, prepare board meeting agendas, maintain records and record actions of the Assessment Appeals Board, maintain the official records of more than 104 boards and commissions and committees and special districts throughout the county, maintain over 80 conflict of interest codes, and serve as filing official for more than 1,100 statement of economic interest. We all know those as Form 700s. Conduct bid openings for county capital building and road projects, and receive and process all claims against the county. You are active member of the California Clerk of Board of Supervisors Association, a professional association that provides a forum for professional growth and alliance among and between clerks of the boards statewide. And you were president of that organization in 1999 and received the certified clerk of the board designation in 2005. Christine has served under 11 different board members and have prepared over 720 board meeting agendas and minutes, and has recorded more than 20,787 board resolutions. This Board of Supervisors would like to congratulate you on 20 years of great service. Congratulations.
Thank you.
I want to thank Christine. Christine has been so wonderful to Stanislaus County, the Chief Executive Office, the Board of Supervisors Division, along with the Clerk of the Board. As a result of her being always willing to make continuous improvement in regards to our record keeping, the information she maintains allows us to be able to go back when it's necessary and get the information we need. We thank you for that. We thank you for you always embracing such a wonderful level of customer service within your area, along with continuous improvement. Thank you, Christine, for all of the 20 years you have provided Stanislaus County.
Thank you very much. It really has been a privilege and an honor to serve Stanislaus County as the clerk of the board. I love history, and so being able to maintain these wonderful records is really, really a privilege. Oftentimes, when we go back, we think of ourselves as either detectives or research librarians or stealth workers, but it was really our predecessors. Steve Nelson was official clerk of the board since the 1940s, and Lloyd Billiard, Beth Martinez, Claudia Krosnick before me, all maintain wonderful records so that we could access them today. It's a lot of fun in many, many ways, and really I want to thank the board for their faith in me and for allowing me to continue to serve in this capacity, and I just want to thank you for this today. Thank you. Thank you very much. And in the audience today, my husband is here, as well as the outstanding staff of the Clerk of the Board's office. Thank you, everybody.
And now, in honor of the 20,788th resolution, I do need a motion to approve.
So move.
Motion by Monteith.
Second.
And a second by Withrow. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? That item passes 5-0. Congratulations. Okay, moving on to item B10, approval to adopt resolution authorizing the formation of the Veterans Advisory Commission and approval of commission bylaws.
Good morning, Chairman O'Brien, members of the board, Ms. Nino, Mr. Doering. I am Cindy Tomlinson, a senior management consultant in the Chief Executive Office, and I'm also your county veteran service officer, excuse me. With me today is Christy Allman, also a senior management consultant in the Chief Executive Office. First and foremost, I would like to thank all of our veterans for everything that they have done for us before and everything that they continue to do for us in our local community. I think that they have done a great job in bringing such an important issue to our attention, and we hope we can continue to work with them on it. We're here this morning to ask for your consideration in forming a Veterans Advisory Commission, which would provide local veterans a formal organization with which to advise your board on various veterans issues. I'd like to go quickly through a brief history of how we got here. The board was first approached by local veterans in an August 2004 presentation on the conveyance of the Crow's Landing Air Facility. Various veterans associations asked questions regarding the use of that facility. From that, the board directed staff to work with veterans to better understand their facility needs and identify potential options to address those needs. In October of 2005, staff returned to the board with a countywide Veterans Memorial District and Facilities Master Plan. The plan was approved by the board, and support was given to the Stanislaus County Veterans Memorial District Committee to collect signatures for the formation of the district. After several years of dedicated efforts, the Veterans Memorial District Committee collected the required number of signatures and presented them to the clerk recorder on February 3, 2012. On February 14, 2012, your board accepted the certified statement of the results of the petition and set a public hearing on March 6, 2012 to consider the matter of the formation of the Veterans Memorial District. On March 6, 2012, following a public hearing, your board directed the county elections official to place the question of the formation of the Veterans Memorial District and election of members to the district on the June 5, 2012 ballot. On March 9, 2012, members of the various veterans organizations made a written request to your board to withdraw the request to form the Veterans Memorial District and instead asked the board to create a local veterans commission. On March 13, 2012, at a special meeting, your board rescinded approval and withdrew the order of the election of the formation of the Veterans Memorial District and election of members.
Good morning, Christy Allman with the Chief Executive Office. Also on March 13th, the Board of Supervisors directed staff to work with the veterans organizations to create a Veterans Advisory Commission. Staff worked very quickly to put together a draft, and on March 29th, we met with several of the veterans groups. There was a lot of discussion and a lot of great suggestions that came from the veterans. Based upon those discussions, we are here before you today recommending that you adopt the resolution authorizing the formation of the Veterans Advisory Commission, which would include the following. The purpose of the commission is to provide an opportunity for the board to receive input on matters pertaining to veterans. The role of the commissioners will be to advise the board, to hold informal meetings where they can share information with the public, and where they can receive input from the public on matters that affect veterans. There is a commission requirement. Commissioners must be a resident of Stanislaus County and an honorably discharged veteran of the Armed Services of the United States of America. There will be 7 commissioners total. 5 will be regular members appointed from each of the supervisors' district, and 2 at-large members that will be nominated by the chairman and the vice chairman of the Board of Supervisors annually. The regular members will serve 2-year terms, and the at-large members will be appointed annually. 4 of the initial regular commissioners will be appointed for a 1-year term, after which the standard 2-year term will apply. This would allow for a staggering of the reappointment so they all don't come up for reappointment at the same time. Commission members are subject to a limit of 6 consecutive years of service on the commission. However, former members of the commission who have termed out may be reappointed to a vacant seat if 2 years have passed since the expiration of their final term. Meetings are subject to the Brown Act and will be held monthly, and a regular meeting time shall be designated by the commission chair at their first meeting. Upon approval of the formation of the Veterans Advisory Commission, the clerk of the board will post commission vacancies. Candidates for the commission will be returned to this board for your approval on May 8, 2012. Also, I have brought applications with me today and will be available after the presentation outside to hand out those applications and answer any questions that those present may have. Once the commission has been formed, county staff will meet with the commission or its designated representatives to review the availability of potential facilities and will evaluate the veterans' needs, including looking at existing locations that are currently being used by service groups throughout Stanislaus County. Basically, we want to take a look at what exists currently today. We will also look at existing county facility sites and properties to determine if any of these facilities may be well-suited for dedicated use by the veterans. Short and long-term needs in terms of size, type, location, and accessibility will also be analyzed at this time. These needs will be used then to help us look for possible facility solutions. Staff will then return to this board to report on these findings and to recommend further actions if needed to secure long-term facilities for veterans' use. And we just thought it was appropriate to end with this quote, never doubt that a small group of thoughtful people could change the world. Indeed, it's the only thing that ever has. Again, we want to thank the veterans group who have worked with great tenacity and a great deal of patience to help to get us to where we are today. Sitting before you recommending the formation of this Veterans Advisory Commission. So with that, as staff, we would like to recommend the following two recommendations. Number one, that you adopt the resolution authorizing the formation of the Veterans Advisory Commission, and two, approve the Veterans Advisory Commission bylaws. So with that, we will open it up for any questions.
First of all, I want to thank CEO staff for bringing this item back to us so quickly. It's very important that we move on this very quickly. So, any questions from Board of Supervisors? Okay, at this point, I'll ask if there's anybody in the audience wish to comment on this item. Yes, sir, come on up. Good morning.
Morning. My name is Al Pound. I'm a very strong advocate for veterans. Do a lot of fundraising, and I believe that a lot of the monies that the veterans raise should be a donation or a charity or a fundraising that we do. My concern is the cost to the taxpayers. I don't want, right now with the funding for police that we need and everything else, I don't want to impose any more cost to the public. I think we need to direct that to the services that we provide already. I believe there is options that we have that we can get a facility, and I think a commission on this could help defer costs to the public.
Very good. I appreciate your viewpoints, and actually the route we're going this way is much better for the taxpayers of San Luis County. So
thank you
for your support on this. Any other comments? I'll bring it back to the Board of Supervisors.
Go ahead. Let's make a motion. We approve.
Motion by Withrow.
Second.
Second by Monteith. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes 5-0. Thank you, gentlemen. Congratulations. Item B11, approval to accept annual audited financial reports for fiscal year June 30th, 2011. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Chairman O'Brien, Supervisors, Ms. Nino, and Mr. Doring. This is Lauren Klein, Auditor-Controller, and with me today is Kashmir Gill, Assistant Auditor-Controller. And we're here today to present the annual audited financial statements and single audit reports as of June 30th, 2011, for your approval. Supervisor Withrow, last year, at this time when we were presenting the June 30th, 2010 reports, you asked me a question as to why we were not presenting these reports to the board. And historically, they have been presented on a consent item. And you asked me why that we did not make more of a presentation for these important documents. I heard what you said. I agreed with you. So henceforth, we're going to be presenting from here on forth the annual audited reports. And these reports are very important. They're key documents for the county. They reflect the accuracy of the financial reporting within the government accounting standards, and they also enable the county to receive monies from the state and the federal and other grantors. One of the first things that a grantor is going to be looking for is the annual audited financial statements. They're going to try and see what kind of shape the county is in, whether they are in compliance with the standards. So these are very key documents. So thank you, Supervisor Withrow, for pointing that out to me last year. I'd also like to talk briefly about how much work goes into preparing these reports and closing the books every year. It's become almost a year-long process. There are times in the year that are much more crucial and key. We're actually starting right now with setting up the June 30th, 2012 audit, working with the audit firm, setting up the schedule for the departments. There are several modules that have to be closed after June 30th. And from July 1st through July 15th, the accounts receivable, accounts payable, purchasing and inventory modules have to be closed. And then after that time period, the general ledger staff kicks in and starts working very hard for about 2 weeks and until the end of July 31st, which we call our hard close. This is a very intense time. There's a lot going on during this month. And then during August, briefly right after we close the year end, we turn around a couple days later and close the July month. So it's a very active time period. August is our soft close. We are doing more work, creating estimates and accruals, calculating. The auditors come out and start doing their first walkthrough through the field work for a couple of weeks. And then after that, we start looking at writing the report. We have to wait for certain estimates from other sources before we can complete the report. But it's a pretty time-consuming closing of the financial records and generating these reports. So I just wanted to give you an idea. And also the county departments are also very involved with the year-end close. June's very active for them, as is July. So Kashmir will be going through the reports themselves to give you an overview of what's there.
Good morning. Thank you for allowing us the opportunity to discuss these this morning. The two reports we will be focusing on is the annual financial reports for the county and the single audit report. Both of these reports were audited by the accountancy group of Brown Armstrong. Lauren touched on this briefly, but I'll go into a little bit more detail. The reasons for the audit is because, number one, the Board of Supervisors is required by law to have an audit conducted. The audit also meets the requirements of a penal code, which requires a grand jury to examine the financial statements. State Controller's Office also looks for the audited reports. And as Lauren mentioned, some of the grant requirements require an audit before funding is approved. The audit for the financial reports is based on government auditing standards, while the single audit is based on the principles of or guidelines offered by U.S. Office Management and Budget. I do want to mention on the single audit that is a requirement for any state, local, and nonprofit agencies who expend an amount of $500,000 or greater of federal awards. The annual financial report consists of about five sections. The first one is the management discussion and analysis section, followed by government-wide financial statements, fund financial statements, notes, and other supplementary information. The next few slides will provide a brief explanation of each of these sections. The management discussion and analysis is basically a readable analysis of government's financial activities. It provides condensed financial information. It gives you comparative current year results with prior year, and it also provides an overview of the financial statements. Government-wide statements. This section is a highly aggregated financial statements, and the reporting is similar to private sector businesses. The statements are based on an accrual basis of accounting, and I'm going to take a minute to just explain what that means. The expenses are recognized when the product is received or the service is provided, and revenue is recognized at the time it's earned, unlike cash basis where the reporting is done when the inflows and outflows occur. the government-wide statements are broken out between governmental activities and business-type activities. Governmental activities are basically activities that are financed through taxes, including state and local and federal, sorry. Business-type activities are activities that are financed through user fees. An example of business-type activities is the landfills. Also, health clinics and ancillary services is an example of business-type activities. The government-wide statements consist of two statements, statement of net assets and statement of activities. I have an example of each one of those in the next two slides, but before I go there, I want to say one more thing on the statement, on these statements. The government-wide statements exclude fiduciary funds, and I want to highlight that. And the reason it excludes it is because fiduciary funds are used to report assets held in trustee or agency capacity. Those funds cannot be used to support the government's own programs. This is the sample of statement of net assets. Basically, it shows the illustration here is a condensed version of what you have on the report. It shows assets, liabilities, and net assets. The net assets is the difference between your assets and liabilities. And for the fiscal year ending June 30th, 2011, our net assets, county's net assets, were approximately $669 million. The statement of activities is basically revenue and expenses for the county. For the fiscal year ending June 30th, 2011, revenue exceeded the expenses by approximately $5 million. I do want to note something on this particular statement. It's a requirement that the revenue and expenses be broken out by the functions of the government, and this is different than what the statement of net assets shows. The next section of the statements is government fund statements, and the government fund statements basically report current financial resources. And what that means is, unlike the government-wide statements where we have an accrual basis of accounting, the fund statements are based on modified accrual. It's a blend of your cash and your accrual. I know it gets a little complicated. The government fund statements are broken out between major and non-major funds. Major funds have a separate column identifying, while the non-major is grouped into an other category. There is a criteria to determine what constitutes a major fund, and the general fund, the main operating fund, is always reported as a major fund. The combining statements in the back of the report break out the non-major funds individually. The components of government funds is made up of general fund, special revenue funds, capital projects funds, and debt service funds. Special revenue funds are funds in which we receive specific dollars for a specified purpose or function. Capital projects is basically all financial resources used for acquisition of major capital facilities, while the debt service is accumulation of resources to pay long-term debt principal and debt. Proprietary funds. These funds behave very much like a private sector and very similar to a government-wide statements, and we do use accrual basis accounting on these statements. Example of proprietary funds includes health clinics and ancillary services, the landfills, transit, and another component of proprietary funds is the internal service funds. And these funds are basically service other departments within the county, and their costs reimbursed. And I had mentioned this earlier, but we also have a section for fiduciary funds, and they are, again, in the trust or custodial capacity only and do not support the government's programs. Notes and required supplementary information. The notes are an integral part of the financial statements. They provide a full understanding of the data within the statements. And the required supplementary information for the county, we only have one page of what I call RSI, and that's basically the county's progress in funding the pension benefits. Other supplementary information, the combining statements in the back of the report basically detail out the non-major funds which were presented up in the fund statements. The non-major funds are broken out here for government funds, enterprise, and internal service. The last section of the report is statistical. You'll see things like assessed values of taxable property, property tax rates, principal taxpayers, et cetera. This information for the county. In conclusion, we're proud to report that the county received an unqualified opinion, and that's actually a good thing. I know it's a little misleading at times. Unqualified opinion is the cleanest opinion you can get. It highest level of assurance. means there are no reservations concerning the financial statements. The auditors also provided us with a report on our internal control, and no weaknesses were noted on the internal control procedures. Furthermore, the auditors also provided us a test of noncompliance, and this is noncompliance with contracts, grants, and other laws and restrictions and regulations, and no instances were noted on the compliance issue either. I think the positive audit results reflect the county's adherence to its fiscal policies and procedures in safeguarding its assets, and we were very pleased with the results. And again, this, we really appreciate the opportunity to discuss the financial statements this morning. And if you have any questions, we're open to that right now.
Any questions?
You know,
that's a good throw.
He's looking at me. You know, thank you guys for doing this. And I know this might seem boring. I was looking at everybody up here, and they're kind of just get this glazed look in their eyes.
That's why we always win consent.
But no, this is great because this is so important. And every one of us up here know how important it is. And I profess this to my clients all the time. If you don't know your numbers, you have no chance of success. You have to know where you stand, and you have to have good information in order to make good decisions. And so this is just illustrates that our unqualified opinion, and I appreciate you talking about this, shows just how we do have good numbers, how we are so strong in this county with the information that we're providing to the board to make decisions. And I know we take it for granted, but I've been very impressed since I came here to see just how well we run our, you know, in the accounting department, how well things are done and how good information we have. And it's not common, believe me, out there. I see it in the private sector. Most businesses will fail as a result of bad information, not other things. It's bad numbers and not good information to make decisions on. And in county government, city governments out there, you know, across the country, it's the only time we hear about it is when it hits the papers usually, when they don't have good information and they're doing things that they shouldn't be doing and people don't know where they stand. And so I commend you guys on what you're doing. You're doing great work here, and I appreciate you coming and going through this. As boring as it may seem to everybody, this is good stuff, and it's what we need to know, and without you, we couldn't do what we
and
do.
And it's not boring to us at all.
No, I know. I wish it's too bad everybody leaves the room when it comes time.
Okay.
But it was great. Maybe next time we'll have it at the start of the meeting so we'll have to sit through this. But it is good stuff, and thank you for what you're doing.
All right. CEO Nino?
I'd like to thank Lauren and Kashmir and your department. Without having an effective auditor controller's office, it would be very difficult for our chief executive office to be able to put together a sound budget, because essentially we would not only be rechecking our actual numbers, but also doing the budget in addition. And there's such a wonderful level of cooperation with your department, because even though they're presenting this in the first week of April, between Kashmir, Lauren, and associated staff, we've not only been on that phone a number of times, probably hundreds of times, and you guys have been very effective with our budget team, because when it comes to reserves, we have to know it sooner than the first week in April, because with all of our multi-year projections that we're doing for our budget, so with your guys' level of accuracy and your timeliness and our working relationship, I need to thank the both of you and your staff. You guys have been effective. There was a solid team even with our past auditor controllers between the chief executive office, and I see that continuing on now and into the future. So thank you for all that you do.
Thank you.
Any other comments? I'll echo those comments as well. Do a great job as our auditor controller, so thank you.
Thank you.
And your entire staff.
I would like to say one more thing, and that is to thank Kashmir for all of her work. She is key to the financial statements. She's acting as a general ledger manager. We're in a recruitment process for now. It's a difficult position, and Kashmir is key as to why the records closed, why we closed the books, and we have the reports that we have. It's her hard work that has created all of this, along with staff, but she's the key person.
Very good. Anybody in the audience wish to comment on this agenda item? Seeing no one, we'll bring it back to the board for approval.
Make a motion, we approve.
Motion by Withrow.
Second.
Second by Chiesa. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Passes 5-0.
Thank you.
Thank
guys.
You. Okay, moving on to correspondence.
This board has received a letter from the United States Department of the Interior regarding the nomination of the Knights Ferry Bridge in Stanislaus County as a National Historic Landmark.
Refer to Department of Planning and Community Development.
This board has received a notice of hearing regarding the rate increase for water and sewer services by the Keys Community Services District to its customers.
Refer to the Department of Parks and Recreation.
And the board has received the claims as noted on the agenda.
We acknowledge receipt of claims and refer to the Chief Executive Office, Risk Management Division. Are there any Board of Supervisor reports? I have one today, and that is Supervisor Chiesa, myself, CEO Nino, and David Jones traveled to Washington, D.C. for our annual trip to meet with legislators and different agencies. We had a very hectic schedule, and we're hoping to see some good results out of it. So I also spent half a week in addition to the county. I went back before everybody joined me, representing San Joaquin Valley Air Pollution Control District. Spent 2.5 days with them and 2.5 days with the county, and all I can say is I'm happy to be home. And moving on to, you have a legislative report today?
Not today.
Okay. We do have closed session. County Council?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. We have closed session to have conference with labor negotiator. And this is held pursuant to Government Code Section 54957.6. The agency's negotiator is Monica Nino, and the labor organizations are those listed on the agenda. We do not expect a report out.
This meeting is adjourned to closed session.